What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QUEERFAM for a free level 2 subscription at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
I say this probably 5 times a day, is that remember, you're not getting that person.
Yeah.
You're right. Getting their past 3 to 5 generations.
Right.
So, so what they look like is going to be, I say this jokingly and lovingly, is going to be messed up by your genes anyway.
Definitely.
So.
Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie, and I am your host, and you are tuning into the show whose mission is and always has been to uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate our LGBTQIA plus families in all of our beautiful identities. And this episode does just that. As they all do, which I don't think you'd be surprised at, because that's the point. But I had the pleasure a couple weeks ago, the supreme pleasure, I should say, of sitting down with Lisa and Mark. I call Lisa the therapist, and I call Mark Dr. Mark, but their real names are Lisa Schumann and Mark Leandiris. I interviewed Lisa and Mark separately in the past, way back when. And now they're back because they wrote a book together. It's all about donor conception, and it's called Building Your Family, The Complete Guide to Donor Conception. And it really is a complete guide. They each have their own families, of course, because why else would they be on this show? Dr. Mark created his family with his husband through surrogacy. And Lisa has 3 beautiful children through adoption. And we talk a little bit about their family journeys and how they got into their lines of work that they're in right now. And then we get into just kind of donor conception in general. All y'all who have donor conceived kids are going to want to lean in a little closer to this conversation. In fact, this conversation was so rich, and we had so much to talk about, and we could have talked for hours more, that I had to make this a 2-parter. So right now you're listening to part 1. And when this is done, I'm going to make part 2 available right away for my Patreoners. So all you Patreoners, right when this part 1 is done, you can go listen to it. And you can always join Patreon at patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast to see the second part. And then part 2 will be next week's episode. So some of you will have to wait a week, but it's definitely worth the wait. So this episode right here, part 1, we're kind of diving deep into kind of all of the ways you start out creating your family when you have to use a donor, an egg donor or a sperm donor. We talk about the differences and how much donor conception has changed, you know, for the better in most ways in the past 20 years. And the differences between the queer community versus the non-queer community when it comes to creating our families using donors, the drama involved with the search for the superhuman, which you know what that is. It's the donor search. I like to call it the search for the superhuman because that's how we get cray cray. And also they lay out the things you should focus on when choosing a donor versus what most folks do, like myself. I basically found out in this episode that I did a lot of stuff wrong. I'm just kidding. Like, I say that with all love, and no, like, I did it the way I did it, but it's just really funny. If you watch the video of this, you're going to see me. I'm starting to like pick at my nails a little bit. You see me getting a little more and more like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, a little like nervous, but all in good fun. I have the family I was meant to have, and I absolutely adore my family. So I would not change a thing. However, this conversation, you're going to lean in closer. That's all I'm going to say. Now, before I roll that tape, I have a really sweet email to share with you. This one comes from Briani. Briani reached out because Briani wanted to get in touch with Kit, who I interviewed a while back about how she and her wife made their baby in Thailand. There were some hoops they had to go through, some complications. It was a very interesting story, and they really went through hell and high water to make their family. And the episode was titled, Baby Making in Thailand. I know, such a great title, right? Such a great title. I'm being sarcastic. But Briani was hoping that I could get Briani in touch with Kit so Briani could ask for advice on how to go about doing the things that need to get done when you're in Thailand. And so Briani wrote, "Hi, Jamie. I just wanted to thank you again for putting me," I guess they actually talked, which is amazing. "Thank you again for putting me in touch with Kit and Nicole in Thailand. We have spoken on Zoom and they have been so sweet and supportive." You go, you. "I'm sitting in the waiting room while my wife has her egg retrieval upstairs." What? "We are doing reciprocal IVF, so it'll be my turn soon. All being well. Please keep your fingers crossed for us." Oh my God, fingers are crossed. Sending all the baby dust your way. I hope it went well. This is so exciting. Look at this community we have created, all of us. And then look at this. Babies are being made. Oh, fingers crossed, sending the baby dust. That is awesome. Thank you for reaching out, Briani. I hope I'm saying your name right too, Briani. It's a beautiful name. I hope I'm saying it right. But you know, like if anything in these episodes resonates with you, or if you have a question, or if you need to get in touch with somebody that you heard on the show, I want to hear from you, whether you're an ally, a queer, a parent, or not. You can email me, you can DM me, you can even send a voicemail or a text to 646-470-1840. There are so many ways. So please keep on reaching out, y'all, and please send Briani all the baby dust, and please enjoy this conversation about donor conception and try not to get too nervous. And then go buy Lisa and Mark's book. It comes out November 14th, and you can get it right now on pre-order at Amazon. And I, for one, cannot wait for my book to arrive. We all need the help. We all need the help. Okay. Helen and Beulah, it's time for you to roll this tape. Oh, and Nicole. Thank you, Nicole. Sorry. I can't believe I forgot you, Nicole. All right. Time to roll the tape. Thank you so much for tuning in. Helen and Beulah are not real, but I still love them. I cannot fire them because they've been in my life so long. And Nicole is really the one who rolls the tape now. Nicole and Helen and Beulah, please roll that tape. I love y'all so much. And don't forget, tune in to part two. Okay. Love y'all.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Lisa and Mark.
Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Okay, everyone at home, I have Lisa Schumann, aka Lisa the Therapist, whom I've been lovingly calling her for years, and Dr. Mark Leandiris, aka Dr. L, aka Dr. Mark. I'm going to switch between all three of them throughout this. Who also, both of these beautiful folks have already appeared on this show way back in the day. Actually, I think you're both in my book. Mm-hmm. I think you both appear in my book. Yes. So
we do.
You have been a part of this Queer Fam Squad for quite some time. And I'm really excited to have you back because you wrote a book.
We yes, did.
We did. You inspired did. Us.
Yeah.
There it is.
Sure. What's it called? Tell me what it's called.
Building Your Family, The Complete Guide to Donor Conception.
Boom. And Lisa the Therapist also has a podcast all about donor conception, which everybody should go tune into. And Dr. Mark, Dr. L. Wait, you know what? Let's do the elevator pitch because I'm going to mess up what your title is, Mark. and like, you should just do it. So we're going to, I'm going to give you each a time to do your 30-second elevator pitch. Okay. Sound sure. good? And I'm going to count you in. So don't start till I tell you, because I got to get it right. All right.
Lisa, you go first.
Lisa's first.
Oh, pressure's on.
Yeah, I know. Pressure. Don't worry. I won't cut you off. I never do that. This is all in love and fun. All right. On your mark, get set, go, Lisa.
My name's Lisa Schumann. I'm a therapist. I've been practicing for almost 30 years, and most of it in reproductive medicine. And I'm a researcher. I'm the host of the Donor Conception Conversations podcast, and I run a group called the Center for Family Building. We're kind of a one-stop shop for everything that you need for your family building journey, from support to guidance to products to videos, all sorts of resources. And you can find me there at familybuilding.net or on any social media platform, and certainly on YouTube or on Spotify or any of the audio platforms for Donor Conception Conversations podcast. And Dr. Mark Leanderis and I just wrote this book that we're both very proud of. We've been working together for a long time, and we learned a lot in the trenches, and we feel that as we get older, we would like to share all the insights that we have in donor conception with a greater group of people, with a larger population. And so we've put a lot of great information to this book, and hopefully we'll be able to share some of it with you today.
Oh my God, Lisa, I love that. It was beautiful. You went way over, but I don't hate you for it. Like a true professional. You got it all in, Lisa. Yeah. You got it all in except your family building journey, but we're going to delve into that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And then, all right, we're going to go to Dr. Mark, Dr. L, and then we're going to delve into everything we need to talk about, because we have a lot to talk about today. Okay, Mark, are you ready? On your mark.
Ready.
Get set.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mark Leanderis. I'm the medical director at Illume Fertility, and I'm also the founder of Gay Parents to Be, and I'm a partner in Gays with Kids. I'll go in reverse order here. Like, at this point in time, I would say 70-80% of my practice is LGBTQ+. And actually, the majority of it are men having babies, so gay couples, singles, and so on. But I see a lot of trans and queer lesbian women within my practice as well. And this transition has happened over a period of years, really as I transitioned. So, you know, back in 2004, 2005, 2006, I was figuring out where I was. And then I wanted to have a child myself. And in 2007, I met my partner. And then in 2009, we started our own family building journey through egg donation and surrogacy. I realized how hard it was, even though I knew all the medicine. There's so many people involved, everybody from, you know, great therapists to lawyers to doctors to IVF clinics to nurses and so on. And that led to the generation of gay parents to be. And now that I have my own family through donor conception, and, you know, as the practice has grown and really become nationally recognized as a safe place to be, you know, we're a healthcare equality leader by HRC as well, you know, I want to get the message out that it's really hard to build a family as a member of the queer community, but there are lots of passionate people out there to help you. And that's really the origin of this book story. It's a place to get started and a place to help for everybody who needs a donor, not just the queer community, because lots of people need donors, cancer survivors, women whose, unfortunately, eggs don't work anymore, and so on. So for me, you know, family building is a passion. It's an honor and a privilege to help people build their families. And when I get my happy place emails from patients, it just, you know, drives me to keep working harder.
Beautifully said, beautifully put. And also, you went way over too, Mark. So you're both even. There's a lot to cover here. And you're both really doing the good work, and have been for quite some time. So kudos to you. I'm really excited and happy and honored to know you. And I'm excited to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if you're not following these lovely, beautiful folks, you got to go follow them on all the places. And it's all in the show notes. It'll be, you know, you can find them in many, many places. And we'll say it at the end again, too, for everyone. But can we delve, Lisa, we haven't heard anything about your family building journey, because I feel like there's sort of a reason you got into kind of what you do now. In a nutshell, you can go listen to Lisa's original episode, which was titled Lisa the Therapist. But you can also hear, in a nutshell, Lisa's family story right here. Let's go, Lisa.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I think I can speak for Mark when I say we're so happy to be on this podcast with you, Jamie, and be back and be talking to you again. It's great to see you, as always. So way back when, I started my family building journey. I had a lot of difficulties, and reproductive medicine was very, very different back then. I had a lot of difficulties and eventually ended up adopting 3 children, but remained working in reproductive medicine for a very long time. And at the same time, I noticed that there were very few resources for the queer community. And it was very upsetting for me because even though I am a straight person, don't hold it against me.
We don't hate you for it. You're one of the good ones.
My entire life, I've had many queer family members and friends, and it's just been part of my, this is part of family to me. Mm-hmm. So in the conferences that we attend, I didn't see any representation. So I marched down to the Gay and Lesbian Center in the village and asked them if I could host a workshop. And I spent a lot of time working on it. And I think 4 people showed up. And fast forward 10 years later, I did the same workshop and there were about 100 people. So I'm very happy that the community is growing. I'm very happy to be part of helping people, everyone, build their families. And that's really what I love to do.
Love it. And what were the workshops, or what are the workshops, or the first one?
Well, the first one was generic kind of family building through reproductive medicine. And then the next one was just for people who identify as women. And that was a very, very large one. And then after that, I've been running workshops prior to COVID for people who are donor conceived or adopted and their families. It's called Tip Top. It's a workshop for families. And it's all about how the children will eventually need to disclose to others, to their friends and family members, and how they can manage doing that, and how the families can help usher their children into this world in a way that's helpful and kind of positions them as their child's ally as they move forward in understanding their donor conception story.
I absolutely love that. And like, you know, the queers, us queers who have donor conceived children, we know from the start we're going to have to talk about this with our children. And mm-hmm. we are every single, except one, and I have interviewed over 200 people, every single person who has a donor conceived child has been open and honest with their children from the start about mm-hmm. it. And that's in this queer community. But it doesn't hurt to have a little help along the way, because your children start asking harder questions to answer.
Yes.
As they get older. So I absolutely love that you do that. And then Mark, Dr. Mark, I think you might have one of my, was it you and your husband, Greg, who had my favorite quote ever that is in our book about the decision was, are we going to buy an apartment or are we going to have a kid? Was that you?
That wasn't us.
That wasn't you?
That was not us. Yeah.
But that's something you can relate to, no?
Yes. Yeah.
let's talk about your journey a little. How did it all start?
You know, I always wanted to be a parent. And, you know, as far as, you know, that process, it took some time for me to figure out how I was going to do it. And then serendipitously, around the same time that I was able to move forward, I met Greg and we went on a long weekend. And before the weekend, I said, hey, you know, I know we just met, but this is the plan. Are you in or you're out? Tell me in 3 days. And on the way back, he told me he was in.
I remember this story, actually.
I remember that, I'm sure. And we went to Deer Isle, Maine, which is a kind of a special place. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as somebody who's had already been in reproductive medicine since 1995, this is now 2007, I still had to find a safe place to go. Mm-hmm. I still needed to go through, you know, all the testing and education by talented mental health providers, as well as lawyers, about what was essential to be done to protect our family. So this is 2007, 2008. Marriage was not legal anywhere. Remember, marriage became legal in California in 2008, and then it was repealed by Proposition 8, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as safe as it is now. And then, you know, the whole process of finding a donor back then was, you know, a much smaller pool. There were very few places to find an open donor. At that point in time, you know, we were advised that it may not be that important or necessary. But if you want to move forward with that, you know, there's things called an open donation. So we're able to get an agreement with our donor that at the age of 18, our children have the ability to contact that law firm to get their contact information. And that was all we could do at that point in time. And sorry, I'm just going to keep talking for one more second.
No, yeah, keep going.
Back then, you didn't get a picture.
No.
You didn't get anything.
Yeah.
You know, we have basically a 4-page sheet And that's all you got. And then now, fast forward the clock, you know, I have people who are meeting their donors before they confirm their match, either Zoom or in person. Everybody's getting a lot more information. And, you know, you mentioned telling your kids, I kind of feel like my kids got shortchanged, but, you know, they also kind of helped push the needle because there's just so much growth of donor conception across all bands of you know, the United States and the world within the queer community and otherwise. You know, there's just this kind of place that people need to find time to search for their donor, but it's hard. And and I said this a little bit earlier, you know, historically, I think it was like this, you know, if you were straight and you needed a donor, you were grieving. I either didn't have sperm, I didn't have eggs, or, you know, I had cancer and so on. But for our community, it's like, whoa, somebody's going to help us have our family. Exactly. Like, we want to embrace those people. And that's like a complete, you know, upside down way to look for a donor. And historically, when you mentioned that a queer person needed a donor, you know, my colleagues would be like, oh, well, that's easy, but it's not easy. And that's what we experienced, Greg and I experienced. And now, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I know people that look at 3,000 donors and it kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Oh, Dr. Mark, this is why I lovingly refer to the donor search as the search for Superman or Superwoman or Superhuman, I should just start saying, right? Because these days, it's a new world.
Search for super.
The search for the super, because you get insane. Like I ruled a guy out because he had acne as a teenager. Who doesn't have acne as a teenager? Right. You know, like the things that your brain gets a little wackadoo when you're starting to try to find that, because you know, you're trying to create your dream child. I don't even know. We get insane. But I want to just clarify for everybody listening, and I'm pretty sure everybody who is listening at home knows this, but Dr. Mark's talking about the egg donor, because in your case, you have to find an egg donor and you also have to find a surrogate. And I do think in the non-queer world, when the non-queers think about two guys making a baby, they only think about that surrogate. Because that's the crazy thing that happens, right? And then, you know, we're grooming and we're making babies to sell on the black market. And it's like a whole crazy thing. Anyway, we don't have to go down that wild ride. But you're talking about the egg donor. And that's kind of, this is what your book is honing in on. And all the nuances that go with donation to make a baby.
Yeah, finding an egg donor, a sperm donor, and the medical and the social and the ethical and, you know, our kids, right?
Right. Because it all comes down to that, our kids, right? That's what it is. It's the health and the safety and the healthy mental health of our children.
I mean, one of the things that I tell people when they get uncomfortable about the fact that they're going to have to share who the donor was eventually with their child, I said, listen, you're going to do a whole bunch of things that you don't want to do as a parent when your kids get older, whether it's sitting at a soccer game in a rain for 3 hours or like doing other things that they want to do that you don't want to do. But when your 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old really wants to know more, if you have the option to share more with them, that's something I think you're going to want to have as a parent.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you also, I, for one, when we were on this donor search, this is the very naive of me, but I never thought that my kids would wonder about the donor. I was like, they'll be fine. They got two moms. I always wished I had two moms. Like, oh, this is bomb. This is going to be great. You know, I never even thought about it. And then my daughter comes out and sure enough, she's asking about the donor. And I'm so glad I have the booklet of the donor and I have the stuff to share. And my son is even more kind of obsessed. Yeah, but it's a really good point you bring up, Mark, that you're going to do all kinds of things as a parent that you never thought you were going to have to do. Like, I never thought I'd be telling my son to stop touching his penis so often in my life. Like, what is that? Anyway, okay. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right, y'all. There is no way we could do all this talk of donors and me not share my promo code that I have for you. Okay? I have a beautiful promo code for anybody in the market for sperm. And it's from the same cryobank I made my babies at. California Cryobank, y'all. Full service sperm bank. And for over 45 years, California Cryobank has profoundly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQIA+ clients create their families, including myself. And they are the number one sperm bank in the U.S. They ship to over 40 countries, y'all. They have one of the largest and most diverse selections of sperm donors, y'all. And they're bomb. And I love them. So to learn more, you're going to visit cryobank.com and you're going to use promo code QUEERFAM. That's QUEERFAM. And you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. So go do that. Go do the things. Get that sperm. Make the babies. And then start having those donor conversations. Go get the sperm.
Love is love.
I love you too. And these conversations need to be had, right? And maybe the two of you want to go into kind of why you feel these conversations are so necessary and how the book came about. Let's go into that.
Well, I just want to mention, Jane, when you talk about looking for Superman, I think what happens to people without knowing it, and it doesn't matter who you are, when you think about it, it's really hard to think about, okay, here's the most intimate relationship in my life, right? I'm in love with somebody. I want to have a baby. And now you have to pick the genes of some stranger who you don't know. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're in a situation where, you know, Mark was, where you don't even have a picture, that is really hard to do, right?
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And it makes people so anxious. And I think reflexively, without even knowing it, so many people will gravitate to what makes them comfortable. So they may say, well, you know, he's musical or she's very funny or, you know, he's athletic or whatever it might be, because that's what makes them feel comfortable. And unfortunately, when that happens, people are not thinking about what matters most, which is health, genetics, things that you have some control over. And I think it's just a natural reflex because you want to make it more comfortable for you. If you could have a baby at home with your partner, wouldn't that be great, right? That would be an ideal circumstance. But if you can't do it, you've got to choose this person who's a stranger, and that feels so uncomfortable. Yeah. So I think people don't even realize how uncomfortable they are and how they reflexively just make a move towards choosing something that's comfortable for them rather than choosing what's wise.
Right. Well, and also, let's be honest, if I could make a baby with my wife, I mean, there's alcoholics on each side, there's suicide, we're a mess. It's a mess, right? So we have a chance to actually give them some better genetic health. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think what Lisa said is so important. I talk about heart and head decisions, right? And actually choosing your donor should be a head decision, but it really starts in your heart, right?
Sure does.
And what we talk about in this book is flipping the conversation, starting with the decisions you should make. And at the bottom of that funnel, all the things that make you feel good, whether, you know, their musicality or how they look or their athleticism, because, you know, we're all aware of, you know, some of the hard facts that exist, you know, that there are things that are familial that we want to avoid giving our children. Mm-hmm. There are donors out there that may have mental illness at the time of presentation, right?
Yeah.
That you don't want to use that donor because that would be a first degree relative for your child.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We know that in our family trees, there's genes in the background that may merge with your genes and cause like cystic fibrosis or Tay-Sachs disease. So we want to pull those up. So these are all kind of, you know, categorical items, right?
Yeah.
And when you get done with all those things, then you can focus on the rest, right? And that our goal here is to kind of make that easier. And, you know, I say this probably 5 times a day is that remember, you're not getting that person.
Yeah.
You're getting their past 3 to 5 generations.
Right.
So what they look like is going to be, I say this jokingly and lovingly, is going to be messed up by your genes anyway.
Definitely.
So let's focus on their family tree, their personal health, their genetics, and then their willingness to be available to your child and their willingness to meet you.
Hmm.
And everything else is downstream, but that's not where any of us start because that's not where we started.
I will tell you right now, my decision and my wife's decision was purely a heart decision. Mm-hmm. Like the head didn't even come into it, barely. I'm going to be completely honest, right? And then, but my question is also, these guys, I'm talking sperm donors right here. they're going in, who knows where they're coming from, what, you know, what their reasons are for donating. But they're going in there, they're filling out these questionnaires on their own. And many of them are in college, many of them are still young. So my question is, how much of their family history do these fellas really know? And how much can we be sure that they're even being honest? I'm saying that from a place of fear, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, how much do we know is actually real and true? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why it's so important to have the correct type of psychological screening. There are some places that will just do an identity profile or some other, you know, background check, but that really doesn't help you, right? If someone is not convicted of a crime, you won't know that they're a criminal, right?
So right.
It's really unhelpful to expect the clinics or the agencies just to find out everything that you need to know. But the right type of screening will screen for psychopathology, but also there's two indicators for deception. So there's an overt and covert lying scale within this test. And so if the donor's trying to be somebody he's not, or trying to hide aspects of himself that he doesn't want us to see, we would see that in the test. And if the number's too high, we throw it out altogether because we can assume that he's also lying about his medical information or anything like that. So that is one way of doing the best job we can to get the healthiest, in this case, psychologically, the healthiest donor we can get.
Oh my God. So wait. Okay. Oh God, you guys are blowing my mind right now. Okay. So if I had to do this over again, I would start with sussing out which banks do the right testing.
Correct.
Yes.
Which I did not do. And is that something you can find out?
Yes.
How do you find that out? Let's walk it through.
So you ask the bank, the agency, the clinic, wherever you're going, they should have two things. The American Society for Reproductive Medicine has guidelines. And those guidelines are there for a reason. They were created by people who are much smarter than I am. And they spent a lot of time creating these guidelines. And we should take them seriously. Some people don't, but we should take them seriously. And they call for two things. One is a psychological interview with a qualified mental health counselor. And that means somebody who doesn't just pay dues to the American Society for Reproductive Medicine and they say they're a member because they pay dues. Right. They should be attending meetings. They should be trained. They should be doing all the training. And also a test called the PAI. Previously, we used a test called the MMPI, and that's still a fine test. But the PAI is the one that's more widely used. And if one of these tests are used, then we're in good shape. And so both of those things should happen at your agency, at your clinic, or at your bank.
Okay. Mark, I feel like you have something to say.
Now, I don't think that any of the sperm banks are having a genetic counselor meet with the sperm donors. But to address your question about family trees and history, those pedigrees are important.
Yeah.
And at our practice, we've always had the donors meet with the genetic counselor. So the intended parents have that profile and that to share with their children and to make their choice, right? So in a perfect world, sperm sources would also meet with the genetic counselor to basically get that pedigree. But we already know sperm is like probably already way too expensive, right?
Yeah.
And that's just going to increase the cost. So,
so you
are right. You don't, these 20-somethings, we're trusting them to be reporting their family history as best they can.
As best they can.
You have a little bit of a backup in that we have, you know, we're screening for 300 genes that cause disease, right? And I think you have a little bit of a backup just to assume if they've done psychological counseling and they're not pathological liars, which that would get picked up, there's a certain like inherent, like, I'm just going to tell the truth on this form,
right?
That my grandmother had alcoholism and but I don't, and my parents don't, and so on, because I can't function in this world if I don't assume the vast majority of us are good.
Of course. And I like to think that I'm a very good judge of character. And I'd like to think that my donor is a really good guy based on what I saw and heard and read in his essay. Right. However, I don't know. Right? I don't know. And that's the great unknown. I'm having so many feelings right now. See, here's the thing. These resources like this podcast, your book, my book, these didn't exist when we were doing this.
No.
We didn't have any of this information. You know, and that's why we both went with our heart and we picked the guy that we thought, you know, but now you're telling me all this stuff and there's so many things I would do differently.
Well, there's three things in this, by the way, right? So remember, the vast majority of humans on the planet never did this much homework in finding their egg source or their sperm source, and the vast majority of us are fine.
Yeah,
and that's
true.
Where you have to keep it real and keep it in perspective.
True that.
Number two, we have these familial risks, but we also have our modern society, modern medicine, modern parenting. We know, like, over 50 studies have shown that queer parents are doing a good job.
Yeah, we are.
We're prepared.
Say that again, Mark. Yes.
We had to have the resources to have our kids. We really wanted to have children. We're not accidentally pregnant, right? So we're on board. We're going to do everything we can for our kids. So we've got this environmental aspect to affect somebody's genetic potential.
True.
Right?
True.
And then last but not least, if you have the ability to find your now 40-year-old donor, you can ask them about their family history, right?
Right.
And that's the other really probably important part about having some degree of identity release or knownness, right, in the future, right? It's a crazy thing to think that, you know, my kids were embryos in 2009, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're 12 and 10, and their donor is 45.
Right.
So this is a crazy thing. And I want to go back to something I said earlier, because what you said made me feel it here. I think it's not appropriate to say that queer parents-to-be don't have grief about needing a donor, because we do. We're just happy somebody's willing to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's it is a different situation. And I talk about this all the time on the show too. First of all, I also talk about how we're so intentional because of everything we have to put into these family building journeys. So you're like singing the songs of the choir here, and I love it. Yeah, exactly. Yes, and also that, right? Many times on the show, we talk about going to the fertility center and getting in that waiting room, and it's full of all these really sad women, right? But we're sitting there so excited because we're finally to the place where this is actually going to happen. It is a very different thing, but that doesn't mean we haven't grieved it. We might have grieved it when we were 10 and we found out we were gay. We might have already grieved this, right? We already went through that process. Been there, done that.
It might have been why it took you so long to just be your true self, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, man, I mean, queer people should just rule the world, right? This is basically what we're saying.
Well, I'm going to throw it out there to anybody listening. One of my dreams is to open the Center for LGBTQ Parenting in New York City that would flip the waiting room to everybody there needs a donor,
yes,
a member of the community. And when you walk in, everybody's
happy.
Us.
Yes.
Oh, and straight people are welcome.
You're welcome to come. You get to be the token. You be the token. And we'll put you up on the website. You know, your picture will go up on the website as the token straight couple. We do straights too.
Yeah. I mean, I actually really love the new flag that has intersex on it, because the rainbow is everybody.
Yes, it is.
You
yes,
don't
it is.
Have to be queer to be part of the rainbow. It's just everybody. It's just, let's just take care of everybody well.
Yeah, we accept you. Just as long as you don't hate on us and want us to go down. We love you. Come on in. Come on in. The water's fine.
Queer Family Podcast.
Oh, wow, guys. I hope you enjoyed part one of this conversation with Lisa and Mark. Don't forget, part two is coming out next week. It's a good one. It's actually an amazing one. If you are on Patreon, you can actually go watch it or listen to it right now at patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You can also join Patreon and watch it too. So many choices, but here's a little sneak peek of what we're going to talk about next week. We go into kind of more about once you already have your kids and how you parent when you have donor conceived children. So here's a little clip for you. Take a listen. Every time I am dropping a little nugget about the donor to my kids, I think of you, Lisa, and I'm like, I just dropped a seed.
That's great. Well, you know, Jamie, you have kids. You know that your kids are different now than they were a year ago, than they were 5 years ago. And developmentally, children are going to understand things very differently at different ages, and they have different perspectives on things. And, you know, when they're babies, they don't have abstract reasoning. They can't see things in the same way that we see them. And so if you start, you know, as Mark was saying, right away, even when you're pregnant or even before, and you rehearse so you get comfortable with the story, and then just continue to talk to them about it, it can roll off your tongue and become very matter of fact to them. And then as you drop the seeds, as you continue to talk to them about it over time, whether it's through a book or you're talking about it in metaphor with their toys, or you're talking about it when you're driving somewhere, you have these opportunities to drop these seeds, and eventually they sprout inside the child. The child just gets more and more information, and they get more and more comfortable with it. And then when they want to find out more, if they're curious, they know that their parents are there for them. They know their parents are not going to shy away from the conversation.
I'm telling you, I think I get even more nervous looking when you watch the video for part two, because I'm like, oh my God. So many things come up, so many things, a beautiful conversation. And these conversations need to be had, which is so true. And I also want to just add one little thing. I will have you know, after I heard about how you can suss out a cryobank and make sure they're doing the right things in terms of screening the donors, I did go in and I went and checked California Cryobank. And I'll tell you what, they're doing it all, y'all. They really are. So I am so proud to have California Cryobank as our sponsor, who are also doing the right thing when it comes to donor protections, donor screening, protections for donor conceived children. So don't forget to use that promo code QueerFam, QUEERFAM at CaliforniaCryobank.com. I love y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Okay.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thanks once again to our sponsor, California Cryobank. Don't forget, y'all, use that code QueerFam, QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about it. Go make them. Go ahead.
Love is love.
Ah, well, folks, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free to listen to another one right now. We have so many episodes to choose from, so just pick one and go, or pick the one that pops up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. Go for it. So much beautiful goodness out there. And also, listen, this might be your call to action. If you've been thinking about, oh God, she hasn't told my story. I want to tell my queer family story, or I think this story would really resonate with the audience, but you haven't gotten the courage to do it, this is your call to do so. You're just going to email me at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com, and you're going to tell me a little bit about your story, and maybe you'll come on the show. I want to hear all the stories. I want to hear from everyone, because you know what? Our families are freaking beautiful, and that's what I'm going to leave you with. Our families are freaking beautiful. So thank you so much for tuning in. Continue to do so. Share it far and wide, and I'll see you next time. Thanks so much.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.